Check podcasts.
The Center for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies, or COAST, welcomes you to COAST Talks, showcasing the people, ideas, businesses, and communities driving innovation in Pacific Canada's sustainable blue economy. Brought to you by the South Island Prosperity Partnership.
Welcome to the COAST Talks podcast, a deep dive into the innovations driving BC's blue economy. My name is Sophie Silks, and I'm the Director of Strategic Engagement at COAST. COAST is Pacific Canada's hub for the sustainable blue economy. We help advance ocean entrepreneurs in British Columbia through new venture support, access to facilities and equipment, training and workforce development, and ecosystem connection. The COAST membership provides access to these benefits, as well as to our network of ocean innovation hubs, our digital communities, events, special project opportunities, and to our new Blue Pathways Learning and Workforce Development platform. You can learn more about COAST programs and membership at canadacoast.ca/join. Today, we're going to run this podcast a little differently. I'm delighted to introduce two members of the COAST team who will join me today for a discussion about major COAST initiatives. Please welcome our Executive Director, Jason Goldsworthy, and Director of Programming and Investments, Barak Evren.
Morning, Sophie. It's kind of nice being on this side of the table for a change and not having to do the intro. And
don't get used to it.
Yes, no, that's probably true.
Wonderful. Well, today we're going to recap some of what 2024 has meant for the blue economy here in BC and to forecast a bit of what's up next for us. So we'll start by taking the audience through a fairly significant new study that COAST has just released in partnership with the University of Victoria's Impact Investing Hub. It's the 2024 BC Blue Economy Ecosystem Survey. So we'll start by sharing some of what we think may be the most interesting insights from this survey, which carries some major implications for our region's blue economy. And then we'll look at how COAST is activating some of these insights through a new offering that we're talking about for the first time here today. So let's kick off by getting into the ecosystem survey. I'd like to go into how we started and why we worked with this wonderful partner, and then we'll get into some of the top insights.
Thank you, Sophie. Yeah, so we wanted to really understand the landscape of the blue economy in BC, and to do that, we obviously wanted to find out from our companies and the partners and the key stakeholders in the sector about what their challenges were and what their barriers they're finding at the moment. COAST has been established to really fill some gaps that exist and to hit our mission of growing the blue economy. We wanted to make sure that we can put our resources and really our efforts to the best use, and then fitting in with other partners as well. So rather than going out there and doing the same thing that everyone else has done, let's try and find out where there's some gaps and where the companies are really struggling to take a foothold. So we conducted this survey. We were lucky to get a really good response rate of 63 companies. I think it shows the interest level in the sector right now. Some of the insights were quite interesting, but it also reaffirms, I guess, what COAST's value proposition has been about how we're trying to provide these supports to these companies in this emerging sector.
Amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about what the kind of profile of the average company was that filled out this survey?
Yeah, we looked at a couple of different areas, and we wanted to do this again to ensure that, you know, COAST was providing the offerings and the support to the groups that we're really targeting, and we found about a third of the companies had less than five people. So these are small companies. These are people who've just started out. They might have an engineer that's come up with an idea, or someone else that's come up with an idea, a couple of other people helping out. So, you know, they're very small in terms of personnel. A large majority of them are also pre-revenue, so they haven't got to market yet. So they're still trying to determine what product they can sell. We categorize them. We found a better way to categorize the companies was actually in what we call their stage. So we had a few different stages. One was the launch stage, which was really the stage where the company is starting and emerging. Then they move into a growth phase, and we found about 38% of the companies were in that launch phase, and 28% were in a growth phase, and that works out to nearly 2/3 of the companies in those first two early stages. And we use that throughout the survey to try and identify where things like their barriers were fitting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say that's reaffirming for some of the target audiences that we assume we are working with to see that spelled out in that way. Something that we found pretty interesting was the sector spread of where the different companies were primarily focused. And we saw some differences perhaps in what we might see on the Pacific coast versus our counterparts across the country. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what we saw in terms of the sector breakdown.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest importance for us. Again, I mentioned at the top, when we're not here to compete with other areas within Canada or other places, but really recognize the strength of BC, the BC companies, and also the BC natural landscape in terms of other support organizations. So we found 40%, more than 40% of the companies that were surveyed are into conservation protection and more environmental sort of work. So whether it be shore restoration or something like that. Another 40% were involved in bioresources. Now, what we also found, and you'll figure out with these numbers and for people who look at the survey online, is that what we're also seeing is a lot of companies are working in multiple sectors. So they might be working in conservation protection, but they also might be working in ocean energy. But in general, what we've found is that the priority sectors, or the most interesting sectors, or the most responded sectors, are more around the climate technology side of things. What we didn't see was things like offshore resource extraction or safety, security, and defense. And if you compared this with our colleagues in Atlantic Canada, I would think that those two areas might be a little bit higher up the list. So from our survey, we had about 1 in 5 companies were working in safety, security, and defense, even though, we have CFB Esquimalt here and a good naval presence of the Pacific Fleet. We just find that those companies aren't seeing that as a target market. And then offshore resource extraction was one of the lowest responded at only 7% of respondents. So, it's really showing that, we need to focus on that climate side of things, clean tech, environmental sensitivity, which I think sort of signifies or characterizes the BC ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty fascinating. Now, across all of these different sectors that were represented, we explored barriers to growth. And I think that's really interesting. And from there, we'll start to talk a little bit more about how Coast is addressing these barriers. But would you take us through some of what was identified around what's blocking these companies from success?
Yeah, and this was probably the most exciting thing for me as Coast is emerging and growing. This was really about how we wanted Coast to help these companies. So we needed to know what their biggest challenges were. And probably unsurprisingly, the highest barrier to growth from these companies was financial capital. 1 in 2 of the companies said that's a real problem for them moving forward. I know we'll delve more into that financial capital side, and it's probably not surprising. But then we wanted to find out, okay, if companies had this financial capital, what are the other barriers? Because sometimes money can solve a lot of problems. But so what are the other areas and how can we support that? So the next three highest results on the barriers to growth were talent attraction and retention. So making sure there's people to work in the sector. Access to markets, so how these companies can actually sell and provide their goods, and access to facilities and equipment. And we'll delve a little bit more into those, I know, later in this session, but that really starts to characterize what Coast is trying to offer. So we saw 1 in 3, basically, companies saying each one of those being talent attraction, retention, access to markets, and access to facilities and equipment being a major barrier to growth. The other one that was on the list that probably didn't maybe get as high a response as we thought was the supply chain, given the issues with supply chain around the world. But when you start factoring in that these companies are really early in their growth, they probably haven't started to think about their supply chain yet. So what they're seeing is to get through their early stages and their prototype development and their testing and demonstration and access to market, they don't see their supply chain as a big issue now. In later stages, potentially, but I think the top four there that we talked about, definitely capital, a talent attraction and retention, access to markets and facilities and equipment is probably the highest, or is our focus area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That leads us in pretty well to talking about one of our programs that we're about to kind of discuss for the first time. So I'll turn it over perhaps to you and Barak to share a little bit about this that you've been working on. Let's talk about accelerator programs, and let's talk about Coast's approach to leveraging accelerators to start addressing some of these issues. So I don't know if you want to kick us off and share
maybe
more.
I can take it from here.
Yeah.
So to the point what Jason made about the early stage companies and the later stage companies or the growth companies, I think we need to define who we are trying to help. When you look at the very early stage, these companies are still in the lab environment doing the research and development, and they don't have a product that can really go out and to be tested or piloted in a real commercial environment. So this is the piece where you help with incubation models. And there are so many of them in BC right now and on the West Coast. And with the accelerator program, what we want to do is, and this is good for BC economy, for the BC talent pool, and also for overall growth, is to bring these companies into global markets, attract more investment, attract more companies to have facilities around here, and to grow them to the next stage of being really global powerhouses in the blue economy in general. So with that purpose, now we will start launching our new program, hopefully by the new year, early new year. I'm hoping by January, but I cannot give you an exact date, the Blue Action Accelerator Canada with a global partner, Blue Action Accelerator located in Bahamas, and also their supporters, Founders Factory, based in UK. So they're already running multiple programs around the world, and we hope that this program will bring in a lot of good partners, good potential buyers, and also a lot of sharing of the technology and know-how around the globe through this program for our innovators and for our innovators and companies here. So the cohort size will be just around 6 to 8. We don't know exactly, but it all depends on the readiness of the companies for being out there in the market. We're still looking and talking with companies on that. And this will really open doors for a lot of connections at a global scale. And we hope that this new program will also put us on the, on the scene so that people will start seeing that the Western Canadian blue economy is really activated and being more active in the global scale. So I hope that this will bring in more connections to us from US market and other markets. And we're seeing a lot of growth in the European market. So we really want to be a part of the European markets and also the really exciting growing Asian Pacific markets, because BC has the potential to provide a lot of different technologies, from food security to the points that Jason made about, especially with the clean tech and sustainable technologies. BC in general is a powerhouse, and we should get the best out of it to the global markets. And I hope that this program will be a good vehicle to do so. Within that program, we have training programs, training sessions, but the main piece of this training session is that it's very much designed and customized for the needs of the companies in the blue economy, not any accelerator program that we already know. BC is famous for its internet and technology businesses, and most of the accelerators are designed around this idea of, early stage technology company design. In general, the clean tech and also really specifically the blue ocean is requiring more specific and customized trainings and understanding of the company's needs and requirements. And also, it's a very complex environment because of the regulations. Whenever you go into the sea or the ocean, you face with a lot of different regulations, it's legal infrastructures, and also there are so many other things that you need to take care of because it's a very sensitive environment that you're in. So we're hoping that this content will bring a lot of good insights to the companies in understanding and what type of an environment they're working and operating. And last but not least, and I think that's the most important piece, where we're suffering with a lot of gap in investment in Canada and in BC, in investment in Canada right now. We're hoping that this program will attract more global investment to our companies, where we will have a better chance of growing them to a stage where we can talk about, hopefully, billion-dollar companies that are coming out of BC. Maybe every 10 years, 5 years, we will have one or two, and we'll be feeling very proud about it. And the good thing is our universities, University of Victoria, UBC, SFU, and others are really growing the talent here, but we need to give them the space to work in a meaningful business environment and commercial results. So I hope that this program will also open doors for a lot of young talents to really grow their businesses. But like I said before, it is a process. It takes time. And through our experiences, we know that clean tech market is always requiring a little bit of a patient capital so that you have to wait and understand and also develop the technology so that it can be customized into this local environment. And I'm hoping that with the Coast approach, we will give the space to these companies so that they can grow and take their businesses to the next level. And we'll all feel proud about it once we get to this stage.
It's a major accomplishment. We're really excited about that. Do you have anything else that you want to share about the accelerator?
No, I think it, as I was listening to Barak there, and we get very focused on making sure a program is in place. But when you step back and look at it, it provides a couple of objectives. Obviously, the main objective we're pushing for is to support those companies. You know, we want to see those companies grow, have better access to investment opportunities, get ready for investment opportunities, access to different markets. But on the flip side, what we get out of it as well is an opportunity to showcase the amazing technology and the amazing companies that exist in BC already, and really just start to put BC on the map, because I heard a couple of times Barak said about opportunities for companies to export into that international market, and that's really a benefit for us and for the sector, because once you build this thriving, once you see that recognition and you build that thriving sector, you then start attracting and place keeping students out of SFU, UBC, UVic to stay here and develop that technology. So we're sort of seeing it as a kind of win-win solution. And it's going to be exciting to see the first cohort go through and hopefully future cohorts too. So we're really encouraged by it. And it's thanks to the support of Pacifican and the BC government to support that and ground it here in British Columbia and in Canada. And it's a first of its type in the country, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I can't wait to be back here in a year talking about what we've learned and who's gone through it. That's really exciting. Maybe we can step back into the survey results and continue to work through some of the barriers. We talked about access to talent and to facilities and equipment. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what the breakdown of some of those barriers were across sectors. And we can talk a bit more again about what Coast is working on to address that, because we do have a few programs that have emerged and aligned quite well with some of the barriers that were identified there, I'd say.
Yeah, so I mean, access to talent, I don't think this is a surprise. But when we started to delve more into it, and I must admit, this is a pretty high level survey. I mean, for us, it was really a first, almost like a baseline case of where we sit right now. And we're going to be spending a bit of time in the next 12 to 18 months delving, getting more detail around some of these areas through some of our programs and some more surveys of the membership and the ecosystem. But we found basically about 97% of the companies are really saying that they're going to need more people in the next 2 to 3 years. which is scary. I'm not sure, given the unemployment rate in Canada and BC at the moment, you know, that's going to be a challenge to find those people. What we noticed is as well is that it's not the stereotypical. So obviously you think engineering, high tech, ocean technology, but it's also more the trade skills. It's the management and business accounting skills. It's the marketing skills that these companies need. We talk about some of those barriers about access to financial capital. You know, typically, and I can say that, I'm an engineer. I'm the worst kind of engineer. We don't have very good, you know, financial business acumen. So having people in those skill sets supporting these founders and supporting these companies is going to be key, especially as with trade skills, to actually do the work.
Maybe I can jump in here a little. Through the years, what we have seen with the clean tech, and so much identical with the ocean ecosystem, we have great research, great engineering resources, great research resources. But when it comes to commercializing the idea and taking it to the next stage of really growth, it requires a lot of commercial skills. Like you said, Jason, you know how to attract investment. You have to understand whenever you talk about your cap table, your investment documentation, or whenever you want to go out and speak with the customers, what is your sales pipeline and how you build it, how you really can market all this stuff, is something that we're really lacking. So from a talent perspective, it's not just the technological talent that we will require, but it will require a lot of commercial support systems to come together so that these companies can really have a global impact. So that's the piece where I think will be really fundamentally important for all of us to understand. It's not just the scientific research, but I think it's all the components coming together to make a company successful overall.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Coast launched Blue Pathways back in earlier this year. And it's to identify that there's these non-traditional ways of getting people into this sector. There's non-traditional, well, I shouldn't say non-traditional, there's careers in this sector that people wouldn't traditionally think of. So some of those other skills. And that's what we're trying to achieve with Blue Pathways is cherry picking courses and skill sets from different places on the basis of our member needs. So we're very lucky that we have this great membership base that you talked about earlier in the top of the show, Sophie, that we can ask those members what skill sets they're really needing, and then we can curate those skills to people that want to get involved. And vice versa, it also supports the companies. It helps the companies build their skill base and talent base. So we recognize there's not people everywhere looking for jobs. So what we're trying to do is attract people that maybe in a different career that they want to change, or in a sector that may be declining. Unfortunately, we have a few of those in Canada and BC, and then move those skills across into the blue economy. So that's where Blue Pathways is, and we've had Coast Capital as a founding sponsor of Blue Pathways, and I think it's going to be a really good offering for Coast to try and knock this barrier down of access to talent.
Yeah, agreed. I think we can move on to market access now and talk a little bit about how we're addressing that and what companies reported when they're thinking about market penetration. I know we're talking a lot about the desire for companies to remain in BC, and I think it was 90% who had identified that, which was exciting for us to see. So that really reinforces the accelerator model there. But can you talk a little bit about some of the other market barriers that the respondents are facing?
Yeah, and to reinforce your point, I think it's good to see that 90% see that BC is a target market.
Absolutely.
Not so sure how big the market is here, but the technologies that these companies are developing have got a huge export potential. A lot of them have export potential, but they do recognize that BC is a good location for early market adoption and that commercialization, which is fantastic, that we have the industries here, we have the C-SPANs, we have the BC ferries, we have those organizations that companies can see as an early stage market approach. So that's good. But then, yes, we have to look further afield. And we asked the companies where their target markets were. And not too surprisingly, the US and Mexico was one of the higher after the province of BC. Everyone wants to stay in BC. The US and Mexico was a target market. And then it got a little, I guess, a little surprising in that, you know, there was a lot of focus with Europe. And I think there may be some influence there with, you know, that's an allied nation or an allied group of nations, especially through NATO, and NATO's launched a new accelerator that can that works in Canada. So I think there's some opportunities there for companies that are looking at that defence side. But what I think was surprising to me and to a few others was the fact that Asia and Oceania was only identified as, I think, one in five companies were seeing that as a target market. And I think that's an opportunity that BC can provide it's a gateway, right? So I think there's some work there that we can do. And then looking into why companies, or what are the barriers behind companies accessing that, and one of the highest ones was business-to-business meetings. That's not something necessarily that Coast offers those services, but definitely our really strong relationships with our associations like the ABCMI, and they do a fantastic job of fostering business-to-business connections. So, we looked closely into some of the, well, not as close into some of those chances or opportunities or barriers for markets, but it helps us then, engage with some of our other partners that like ABCMI to help those companies that are at that stage.
And I can add a few comments on your points, on the points that you made. BC, from a technology development perspective, has a big potential to hit beyond its weight. But what we are seeing is most of the time our innovators or our entrepreneurs are not so much willing to go out to discover the big international markets. So I think, and we hope that especially our accelerator program will really help them to dream bigger in terms of market discovery and getting into new markets. And to your point, Jason, we have all these free trade agreements between Asia Pacific and also with European Union, which is a big and promising market. We only have to really motivate and give the encouragement to our innovators and entrepreneurs to be more active in these markets. But sure, it all depends on the amount of money and the financial resource that you can supply them, the talent that you can really provide them. Mm-hmm. But also giving them a wider vision of understanding these markets. Because the other thing is, European Union is a little more complicated market, but Asia-Pacific markets are coming big, coming strong, and there's a big potential. And all these countries are really close to our coast because we are sharing the Pacific with them. So this is really giving us a wider view of the world. If we can really get it done, probably BC can be a shining star in all of this world, which we can do. Because, think about Norway, think about Germany, all these countries, and especially Scandinavia, with smaller populations, with big research and development, they are always hitting a little bit above their weight because of all this understanding of the good markets. So let's go out and find out these markets for us.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. The shining star. BC, you heard it here. That's great. I love that. Something else that I thought was interesting was the funding focus of the companies that responded. So we studied what types of funding they were going after, what types of investors, if they were looking at equity. So a few notes that I had was that companies seeking funding in the next 2 to 3 years were overwhelmingly targeting government grants. So it's about 4 in 5, and that's pretty substantial. When I think about even the benefit of an accelerator, there's educational elements, right, to try to introduce new pathways to funding, new ways of engaging with investors. So that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing in terms of outcomes. Another thing that I found interesting, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, Jason, was that 54% of companies seeking equity capital were looking for impact investors, which tied into our survey partners, the Impact Investing Hub at UVic, who really created a whole kind of secondary, an additional subset of questions related to ESG, and they'll be introducing those results very soon. But I'd love to hear more about what you thought when you saw that result about the impact investors, because that sparked something for me. So I'm curious what came up.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise to me how, I guess I would consider it sophisticated that the companies already are in terms of their knowledge of what they're after. For me, impact investing is relatively new, it's still emerging in itself. What we didn't see was any venture capitalists on that list, and companies just aren't seeing them as a potential growth area or an investment area. To go back to your original question, yes, companies love government grants, and the Canadian and BC governments do a really good job at providing that access. I think from our perspective, we need to see more private capital and private investment in the sector, and impact investing is definitely one area. I think it does bring up the question of, is there enough knowledge around what impact investing is and how companies can set themselves up to be a target or to connect with impact investors? Again, this draws us back to what Coast is trying to do, and our Blue Pathways is offering what's called an ESG course, which really is focused on how do companies learn about ESG that can lead them to potential impact investing or impact investors. But I think the surprise to me was that these companies are aware of it, and I think that's probably a good area for blue economy companies to proceed with, is in through this impact investing. I think, and Barak, you can chime in here, but in the clean tech sector, there's been a little switch and there's been some impact investing getting into clean tech. And I think that's a good potential opportunity for the blue economy too.
I want to give a different perspective to this. So we cannot really expect the governments to step in every step off the financing. So what's happening, and you can see it from the results, because the companies are becoming a little hopeless about getting a funding from a private resource, they need to return to the government grants. And you know, to be honest, a government cannot really reply to all type of funding requirements. So it is partly our venture investors and our private investors need to step in right now. It's not the shortage of money in Canada, but it's the readiness of the venture capital and also other private type of, from private equity to other type of private investors, readiness to invest into these fields is something that we are really lacking. Because when you look at the And it is because the closest partner, this is the reason why I'm giving this example, not to say that America is bigger than this, but US is really supporting their system, not just through the government grants, but a lot of private money is stepping in and helping these companies to grow. And you can see it in the results in economic development and talent development and the way that US is really dictating this whole venture market. And the same thing is happening, unfortunately, for us is in Europe, right? You know, in Germany, in Sweden, if you go to Norway, Spain, French markets, you will see the venture capital specifically designed for blue economy or for impact is supported by the governments, and also the private investors are stepping in with big money and they're helping their companies. So this is where we have the role as Coast or other partners within our ecosystem to educate our investors to understand this marketplace better so that they can put more money in. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will take more risks or this is less profitable. It is, I think, for them to understand how they can really make the big money from this sector overall. And this is a promising area with the hard tech, with the right type of tech, and also with the right type of talent. It is just a matter of education. I hope Blue Pathways hopefully will educate the companies at one end, but we will also have the role of talking to our private investors and telling them what really make these companies more attractive for investments in the long run. It is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. I hope it would happen really quickly. But again, this is there are multiple sides of discussion here, and I hope that we can initiate through this, you know, conversations, that we can initiate this, you know, talks around how we can find the money, how the private investment will step in more, and how the government will just enable and support all this process. With, you know, I don't know, I cannot really name the programs right now, but there can be other ways of from tax incentives to others that can attract the private investors to step in strongly to this market. Is the things that we will work on.
That's starting to sound like a key takeaway, I would say. And as we enter the closure of the podcast, I'd love to know, Jason, what's something you really want to leave folks with when they're thinking about the survey and thinking about our forthcoming accelerator, how we're matching up some of our programming, like our Ocean Innovation Hub, Blue Pathways, this forthcoming program next year. What do you want? What do you want people to really remember? You can pick two. It's okay.
I can pick two. I don't have to come with one. No, and I think as we get the results of the survey, and we're processing those, we're putting out new programs, we're providing new offerings. I think we want to see Coast as supporting these startups through their journey. You know, we don't necessarily do everything. We have a great partnership network. The Ocean Startup Project is a great early stage program that's Canada wide. We have a strong partnership with them. I mentioned some of the other partners we work with as well. Really, we want to hold the hands of those startup companies and through their life cycle. We can help them at their early stages. We can with the accelerator now, with the ESM, with Blue Pathways. You know, we're here to support them through their journey and help them get that. And there's ways to join in with Coast and get involved. But, you know, we're using the results of the survey to really hone in where the pain points for these companies and these founders are, and trying to make it just that little bit easier. It should be hard. Anything worthwhile should be hard. I don't mean to say this is an easy done for deal for anyone getting into it. But, you know, if we can just make it a little bit easier for companies, and make sure that BC is seen as a place that can foster and nurture these companies into hopefully international success is where we're going.
Fantastic. I'd love to plug also, if any companies listening to this now, review the survey, which you can do at our website, canadacoast.ca, and are surprised by the results, please make sure you complete it next year when we do it again, inevitably. This is a really important benchmark we've established, and I think we're all really interested to see how the results evolve in a year. So I think we've had our final word. Thank you both, my wonderful guests, for joining me in my podcast studio today. You can learn more at canadacoast.ca and follow us on LinkedIn to find the 2024 BC Blue Economy Ecosystem Survey result. So thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.